Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And well, you can check us out online as well at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me and about the program. And you can also look at some of our, or listen, I should say. You can look at the screen, I guess, but there's nothing there. You can listen to the past programs. We don't have a fancy video set up to where you can actually see something. You just kind of see the little thing going across as the audio progresses. But you can listen to us online. Our past programs are there. You can listen to both hours of our Sunday night program, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour, both hours there. And you can also listen to our half-hour Friday afternoon program. We're on every half hour or every Friday afternoon for a half hour, Fridays at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And just looking, I believe our programs are up to the 25th of February on there. I do not have this past Friday on there yet, but a number of those things are there. And in addition to listening to past programs, there's a number of articles and things that I have that are available all at livewithpastoral.com. So I encourage you to check that out. And you can also link from there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can find out more about us there and find out where we meet and just some different things about the church. And we'd love to have you visit. I just thinking coming up 2 weeks from today, we're having our Pi Day Fellowship. And you say, what is a Pi Day Fellowship? Well, I don't think too many churches do that, but some years ago, one of our people pointed out during one of our Friday night Bible studies, it was in March, and the date was March 14th. This was some years ago. I'm not sure which year it was exactly, but it's a while back. And it was March 14th. One of the people brought in a pie and said, oh, that's nice. What prompted you to bring a pie? He said, it's Pi Day. But he meant pie, P-I, not P-I-E. But yeah, if you're celebrating Pi Day, I mean, what better to bring than a pie? See, what's Pi Day? Well, 3.14, March 14th, 3.14. If you understand what pi is, you would realize that's the first two decimal places in pi, which is a very important number. You use it for finding the circumference of circles and all kinds of things. And we just started after that having a Pi Day Fellowship, and it's usually a Sunday at or before Pi Day, and it's just a good excuse to have some fellowship. And of course, always need a good reason to have pie, right? And of course, somebody every once in a while, bring in some brownies or something, because brownies are nothing more than pi r squared, but that's a whole nother area. We fix a pot of sloppy joe, and we have that and some salad and stuff like that, of course, to go with it. You have to have something to accompany your pies. And usually we have quite a variety of pies. We've had elderberry pie. We've had rhubarb pie. We've had raisin pie. We've had oatmeal pie. We've had shoot fly pie. We've had, of course, your usual cherry and blueberry and all them kind. We have all kinds of pies over the years, and it's a great time. Sometimes people just pick some pies up at the store. That's fine. And some people get creative and try pies and make them and things like that. And so we have a lot of fun, and it's kind of a fun thing to do. So we've got that coming up it's 2 weeks from today. And so that'll be our our Pi Day Fellowship at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. That would be, just checking the date here, the 17th. It was just 2 weeks from today. I just wanted to make sure on the date that I didn't give you the wrong day there. But we'd love to have you visit if you're looking for an excuse to visit or time to visit. What better day than Pi Day Sunday? So that's what we've got coming up. And of course, you know, we've got we preach the Word of God, King James Bible, and you can find out more about us if you go to livewithpastoral.com and then link over to our church page from that. And I just went there, and guess what? I see I need to update something there because I still have our spaghetti dinner from last month on there. So we got to change that. It was a good spaghetti dinner, but that's not coming up again until next year. So we'll have to change that. But so let you know about that. All right. Well, before we get into our program, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. Thank you again for giving us opportunities that we have to serve you. We thank you for your watch care over us. Bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to someone tonight. Again, we just pray that we might point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. We just thank you and give the honor and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, as I said, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And we have Nancy, who's been waiting patiently for us tonight. And Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. You know, I love to listen to your previous shows, you know, on Live with Pastor Al. So I just happened to listen to one that was exactly a year ago, and you were promoting Pi Day.
Well, it was a year ago.
Yeah, exactly a year ago. Well, today my question is concerning Psalm 86. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And my question is, most pastors and say that God does not, I mean, you can call out to him and pray to him, but he doesn't answer you directly. You get your information about spiritual problems only from the Word of God, but this particular verse, it would imply that God answers us directly. And I know a lot of people that do say that God talks to them directly. So if you could explain this verse to me in your interpretation, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess the first thing I would say, Psalm 86:7 here. And when we're looking at that, thou wilt answer me, that statement there, well, I'll just read again. You read it as well, but just the whole context there. Mm-hmm. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And I guess what I would say first looking at this is the idea is that God will answer us. That doesn't really say anything about whether he'll speak to us, you know, in an audible voice or directly or something
right.
like that.
Uh-huh.
It just says that he will answer. And I would agree with exactly what the scripture says. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I've had occasion where I've been in difficult situations, and I've called upon the Lord, and the Lord has answered me, not by some direct something or other, but he's answered me in that he has, you know, somehow delivered me out of the trouble or given me the solution that I didn't see or in some fashion, you know, he delivered me. I'll give an example. It took place much when I was much younger. Not that I would do this today. I was much younger. I was in college, and I went to college out at Colorado State, and so a lot of times I would go hiking in the mountains, me and friends and all that. And I love climbing around in everything. And I had a job one summer in the United States Forest Service. And we were out in an area in the Roosevelt National Forest, just on the south side of Rocky Mountain National Park. Absolutely gorgeous area up along the Continental Divide. I mean, for a summer job, couldn't have asked for much better of a job. Basically, the guy I was partnered with and I would hike into the backcountry, into the wilderness area, for several days at a time, carrying all our stuff with us. And we were replacing signs and fixing the trails and stuff like that. And, you know, here I am. I'm from the Midwest, okay? And my partner, he lived out there. And he asked me if I've ever been boot skiing. Now, boot skiing, B-O-O-T. It's like skiing with regular skis, only you don't have skis, you just have your hiking boots on. And he explained it. You have these permanent snow fields up in the mountains that the top inch or so of it gets really sort of squishy and soft and everything because of the sun beating down on it. And you can slide on it. It's very slippery. And well, I had never done this before. And so we went up on this one. He was describing what it is to do. Now, keep in mind, I had never been downhill skiing either, for that matter. So I was not a skier. And he's like, well, you do just like you would do when you're skiing. You know, put your toes together to do this and do that. Well, I had never skied. So I start down this slope. And as I'm going down this ice or this snow field, I go over near the edge where he tells me I'm not supposed to go. And I didn't really want to go there, but I couldn't turn.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't stop. And I went over. It felt like it was a 50-foot cliff, but it was probably more like 15 or 20. And it was a drop down into rocks below where the snow was melting and streaming off. So I go over the side, and as I go over the side, I immediately prayed. I didn't wait for somebody to break out the piano or the organ to start playing. I immediately prayed, Lord, don't let me break anything, meaning bones, because we're up in the wilderness area. We're alongside the Continental Divide. We were like a day and a half hike into where we were. I didn't really feel like having to be carried out on a stretcher from way up in there. And I was like, Lord, save me. Don't let me break anything as I'm going over the edge. Well, it wasn't exactly a 90-degree drop. There's a slight slope to it, but not much. And I went face forward on the snow. My toes dug into the snow. My hands dug into the snow. My knees dug into the snow. My elbows dug into the snow. I stuck my head in the snow. I did anything to slow myself down. And I went sliding down this steep slope. And I hit the bottom. And I bounced around. And I managed to keep from falling and rolling through the rocks. And I bounced around, and I busted my watch, but not me.
I
got to the bottom, and I thanked the Lord that I didn't break anything. Other than my watch. I didn't want to break any bones is what I was telling the Lord I didn't want to break. I wasn't worried about the watch. I was okay. I didn't break anything. I didn't even get a bruise. And
that's amazing.
Now, that was a direct answer. I was in trouble, and I called on the Lord, and he answered me directly. Now, the guy that was my partner, he come around the other way, and he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. I just bounced around, but I stayed on my feet, and I didn't fall into the rocks or anything. And, my guardian angel was probably wiping his brow after that. But but what I'm saying is I called on the Lord in a time of trouble, and he definitely answered me. Now, I didn't get an answer by opening up the Bible and saying, at what time I'm afraid I should call upon him or something like that. You know, I didn't get, you know, he'll bear me up on angels, you know, by the angels or something. No, lest I stub my toe or something. I didn't get anything like that. But I did get answered directly.
Oh, okay. I didn't break
anything physically, bodily. I didn't break any bones, didn't break any arms, legs, nose, nothing. I didn't even get a bruise. No
That's
scratches
amazing.
Even.
That's a miracle.
Yeah. I left a lot of lines in the snow coming down because I dug in, like I said, hands, toes, feet, knees, elbows, chin, forehead, nose. You know, I just dug into the snow as best I could to slow myself down. But God answered my prayer very directly.
Yes.
And immediately.
Yes, definitely.
He didn't bring somebody across my path or anything. He just answered my prayer.
Yeah, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
He answered you by action,
yes,
by physically
absolutely.
Protecting you, but he did not talk to you directly.
No.
Do you feel like some people really believe that God can talk to you, at least through your mind, you know, mentally, directly? What do you think about when people say, God told me to do this. They really believe that God talks to them. I think it's more in their mind. To me, it's your mind just getting an answer as to what you want God to say. I just don't think that God can directly talk to us now, but I know that God did talk to people directly in the Old Testament. I'm very aware of that.
Right, and in the New Testament, obviously.
What do you think when somebody says, God did talk to me, God told me to do this? What do you think about that?
Well, my first thing with that is, generally speaking, from people I've talked to when I've actually questioned them on it, it wasn't that they heard an audible voice where God told me to do this. For instance, one individual, he used to always tell me, well, God told me this. God said this to me. And one day I said, so how did he say it? Did you get a voice in your head? Did you hear a voice in the air? Did you see a sign light up in the sky? I mean, how exactly did he speak to you? He basically said, well, I was praying about this and I was reading the Bible and all of a sudden I looked at the verse that I was reading and said, that's the answer that I need. And see, God spoke to me. So a lot of times when people say God spoke to me, what they're really meaning is God helped me to understand or see something. And maybe it was something you were reading in the Bible at the time that just kind of leapt off the page and you say, wow, that's what I need. That's the answer. Or maybe it's a conversation with somebody. Somebody says something and you say, you know what? That's exactly right. Thank you. God used you to help me understand this. Or maybe you go to church, and the pastor's preaching, and he says something in the message, and all of a sudden it clicks, and you say, well, thank you, Lord. I've been wondering about that. And those are the ways I believe God speaks to us. You know, we read the Bible. A lot of these people who say God spoke to me, when I've questioned them, and I know there's others that are different, but I'm just saying some of the people I've questioned have said, well, it's like this, and it turns out that it's the same thing that I would say, well, I wouldn't say God spoke to me, but it's the same thing that I would experience when I'm praying about something and I'm looking for God's leading on something, and all of a sudden I'm reading in the Bible and I see something that applies to what my situation is or to answer my question, or I'm talking with somebody and all of a sudden they say something that I realize, hey, this is what God wants me to know. Or I hear something where somebody's preaching or something. And so that's the first place is some people who say God spoke to me, they're actually meaning he led them. They're not meaning that he actually spoke.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that, and that's totally biblical.
Yeah. Right.
But my question is, what about people that adamantly say, God spoke to me? Now, they didn't say necessarily he spoke out loud, but they say that he spoke to me in my mind.
Right.
And they really believe it was direct conversation from God. What do you think about
Yeah, that's the next one I was getting at. Now you get into that group. That's the group you get into next. And now, first place, if God wanted to, he's more than capable of it. However, right. I'll put a however comma here. However, mm-hmm. comma, God's given us his word, and God has mm-hmm. given us, you know, Christians that we can talk with and you know, get counsel from, and he's given us pastors and teachers. And that mm-hmm. is, I would say, the preeminent way that God chooses to speak to us today is through those mm-hmm. means. Mm-hmm. But the right. person who says, oh, no, God literally spoke to me, whether it's an audible right. voice or it's in my head or he put it this, mm-hmm. he made me, whatever. Oftentimes, you have to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a missionary who was in Russia early on when the Soviet Union crumbled, and mm-hmm. he was in an area, and he had a guy in his church that would open up his Bible and let it drop open and put his finger on the page, and whatever verse his finger landed on, he would say, God told me this. And the missionary who was there, you know, basically was telling him, that's not how it works. And mm-hmm. and he had had revelations about some of the people in the church because he would flop his Bible open, stick his finger down on the page and say, ha, God told me that your problem is this. Well, mm-hmm. he did that to the missionary. He opened up mm-hmm. his Bible, flopped it down, and it had something about tearing long at the wine or a drunkard or something mm-hmm. like that. And he said, ha, God just told me that you are a drunkard. See, oh, but see, here's what was going on. The mm-hmm. devil was leading him astray. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem when you get people who are insistent, no, I had God speak to me. Well, did mm-hmm. did he mm-hmm. lead you by something you were reading in the Bible? No, he spoke mm-hmm. to me. Oh, did he mm-hmm. lead you or open your eyes by conversation with another Christian? No, he spoke mm-hmm. to me. Well, yeah, were you at church listening to the message? No, he spoke to me.
Yes, I know people like that.
Well, how do you know it was God? How do right. you know it wasn't a false spirit pretending mm-hmm. to be God? You know, did mm-hmm. you try the spirits as to whether mm-hmm. or not they were of God?
Mm-hmm.
Not every time is the voice that pretends to be the voice of God actually the voice of God. How do you know mm-hmm. that it is? Well, mm-hmm. there's some tests in the scripture, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, like if they speak not according to this, you know, to the law and the prophets, because there's no light in them. They're mm-hmm. in, what was that? That's Isaiah. I should turn over to that, actually, because that really is a good passage. Over to Isaiah here. Let me get turned over here. Take me a minute.
Okay.
Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And we will go to. Actually, it's chapter 8. I think I said chapter 12. I think it's chapter 8, isn't it? Yeah, chapter 8 and verse number 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. If you hear the voice of God and it contradicts the scripture, for instance, mm-hmm. so what do you go with? Now,
you go with the scripture.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we see some other things. Let me turn back to Deuteronomy, chapter 18 here. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, God spoke to me. What should you do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is kind of interesting here. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name. Now, let's apply this to your situation. Somebody comes up to you and says, God spoke to me and told me this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're basically, in a sense, claiming direct revelation from God, right?
Right.
Which is what a prophet had. So they're almost, in a sense, claiming to be a prophet. And they said, a mm-hmm. prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name. So they're saying, God spoke to me and told me this. But he says mm-hmm. this in the next part of the sentence, which I have not commanded him to speak. That's interesting. Sometimes mm-hmm. people say God spoke to me, but God mm-hmm. really didn't. Mm-hmm. Because there's false spirits out there. That's why the Bible says to try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. But he says, the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, and here's another condition, or that speak in the name of other gods. Sometimes somebody will say, well, the Lord spoke to me, and they'll bring up other gods. You know, it's almost like they're trying to say that God justified looking to other gods and things like that. Well, the sentence here was, even that prophet shall die. But I like what the next verse says. Verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? And and here's a good key right here, verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Let me apply this two ways, okay? Two ways. Mm-hmm. One is somebody tells you, God told me this. Well, would you see in the Bible? No, he spoke to me and told me this. Well, if it doesn't come to pass, then obviously it wasn't the God of the Bible that told him that. It was another God, the God of this world, perhaps. But here's another way. Okay. Let's say that you hear a voice that says, you know, this is God speaking, and I want you to know that on 1 week from today at 6 p.m., a $1 million check will be found in your mailbox. And now go to the bank and start right now writing checks and sending them out, because next week it's going to be there. And you go, wow, God spoke to me. I'll give you an example. We had somebody in our church many, many, many years ago, back in the 80s, that said God spoke to him, basically, and that he was going to find $1 million or something like that in a gym bag in the middle of the road, even the color of the bag. And he put a check in the offering plate and got mad at the church because we didn't cash his check. He said, well, I don't have the money, but I'm going to find it this week. And of course, he didn't find it that week, and the problem was not that God wasn't speaking to him. It's that we didn't have enough faith to cash his check and bounce a $1 million check or whatever it was. And but it so if you have the voice of God speaking, you're saying something's definitely going to happen and it doesn't, or it's contrary to Scripture, or it directs you towards false gods and things, then obviously it's not the God of the Bible. It's a false, it's a false spirit. And that's the danger when people say, God told me this. I'm not going to let you question it. I'm not going to let the plain Scripture question it, because God spoke to me. And when you get somebody like that, how do you argue with God? You know, when I say God led me to some answer by searching the Scriptures, or I heard a message, or I was talking with somebody, and I can say, and this is what I think the answer was, and you could say, but Pastor Al, that's not scriptural. That denies the Scripture. And then I have to say, whoa, let's look at it. Maybe I read it wrong. But when somebody says, no, God spoke to me, how do you argue with them? You can't. So that's one of the reasons I don't believe God's speaking to people directly like that. If God had an overwhelming reason to speak to you, let's say that you were getting ready to step off the onto something that was going to break and cause you possibly to get killed, and all of a sudden you just heard, step back or stop, and you look around like, who said that? Could God do that? I'm sure he could. But generally speaking, God wants us to search out a matter. He wants us to go to the counsel of other Christians and our pastors and our teachers. He wants us to search the Scriptures. And and besides, God, there's a term called the conservation of miracles, or the miraculous. You know, God does what we can't do, but he doesn't always do the things that we can do. And when it comes to searching the Scriptures, we can do that. Why does God have to speak to us? Well, I don't need to read the Bible, because I'll just let God tell me directly what he wants. I know I'm running out of time here, but I knew of a pastor one time many years ago, back in the 1990s, down in Alabama, who was illiterate. I was at a church down there, and the pastor was telling me about this guy, and I said, well, how does he get his scripture? And so, well, his wife tells him if he needs a verse, she'll tell it to him. And I said, what about the verse that says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed? And then I thought for a minute, I said, well, I guess you didn't read that one to him. But his reason for not learning to read as a pastor of the church, he did not want to interfere with the ability of God to speak directly through him in the pulpit.
Oh, my goodness. How are we doing?
Now, there's something wrong there. There's something really wrong there. And so this is the danger when people elevate, I heard the voice of God over the written word of God. We have the written word of God today. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God moved upon them, and they gave us the word. Hey, Nancy, good question there. We're coming up on a break. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And stay tuned. We got an hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Excuse me. And you can also go online, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. We have both hours of our Sunday night program, our 10 o'clock hour and our 11 o'clock hour on there. We also have our Friday afternoon programs. We're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and you can find that on there as well. There's also some other information and such there. There's a link to our homepage, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can find out more there and check that information out. We had some of that just a few moments ago. We'll have some more here at the top of the hour. But also, there's the address name of East Coast Pizza, because they sponsor us a little bit. They help out a little bit. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights. And so you can find them there. It's easy to get to. If you're familiar with the Garfield Heights area, right down Turney Road, directly across the street, as I said, from the Garfield Heights High School. If you can find the high school, you can find East Coast Pizza. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And I have to tell you this, and I didn't buy it, and they didn't send it to us as a gift, but we had some visitors at our Friday night Bible study this last Friday. Some of our listeners are familiar with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And Pastor Lutz, about a month or so ago when I was out with the flu, he filled in for me on Sunday night. And he's also filled in for me on occasion on Friday afternoon. And he hosts a program here on 1220 every Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock until 1:30, just before our program. His program is For the Cause of Christ. We come on at 1:30. And then at 2 o'clock, of course, we have Pastor Andy Rusnacko, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. He comes on at 2 o'clock, and so there's a good three programs in a row there, hopefully, and encourage you to listen to that. But Pastor Lutz came with somebody from his church, and they were visiting, and he said, "I want to bring something. Would you guys want pizza?" And I don't have to twist my arm too much when it comes to pizza. And he was asking about where to get it. There's a place near us. And I said, "That's okay." But he goes, "Why, is there someplace better?" And I said, "Well, East Coast Pizza." And I know Pastor Lutz loves East Coast Pizza. He said whenever his daughter comes home from out of state, they got to go get East Coast Pizza. And so he says, "Well, I'm going to bring some." And he brought several pizzas to our Friday night Bible study. And let me tell you, it just disappeared. It is good. And a lot of people are remarking on how good it is. So that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, a little longer promo on East Coast Pizza there, but I'm sorry. The pizza was too good. I really enjoyed it. All right, getting back to our program, though. Got to move from pizza on to more important things. I think there's a verse that says, "Man shall not live by pizza alone," or something to that effect, I think. No, it's breadsticks, I think. No, anyway. But back to our program here. Our phone number, if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry, who's patiently waiting for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
That is good.
A little bit tired, but oh well.
Well, I guess it beats the alternative. If you didn't have any life in you, you wouldn't have the option to be tired. But
that's true. And I'm going back, and I got to go back to work again.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working quite a bit this winter, actually, because the weather's been so nice.
Yeah, and a number of our listeners know that you're on the north side of Lake Erie up in Canada, but so sometimes your weather is similar to ours here on the south side, sometimes considerably different. We actually hit at my house today, I think, 60 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm trying to think what that is in Celsius, because in Canada you go with Celsius, don't you?
Yes, probably around 7 or something like that, 7 yeah. 8 cells. And I can't understand. I don't understand.
But it was comfortable. It was comfortable. You could go outside with yeah. with a light. Well, you didn't even hardly need a sweater or anything. It was like 60, you know, it's a very comfortable temperature, really, right. especially with the sun shining a bit. It was really quite nice.
Yeah, and I'm still roofing.
Yeah.
I don't know how I do it.
So that's good.
I'll be retired in October.
Wow.
I'll be officially retired in October.
But... Well, don't fall off any roofs between now and then. So.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
It's not the fall that I'm worried about. It's the sudden stuff.
Right at the end, yes.
Got to count my many blessings on my way down.
Yes. I heard something to the effect of a guy fell off a 100-story building, and as he was going past the second floor, he said, "So far, so good."
Yeah, you don't have much time, eh? Like,
no. Well.
Yeah, that was interesting what you talked about. This is not what my question is tonight, but one thing that came to me when we were talking to Nancy is beware of those prosperity preachers out there.
Oh,
they're after your money.
You know, that's a great point. And I didn't think about this when we had talking to Nancy. You'll hear some of these guys, you know, they'll be stand up there and say, "And the Lord told me, and the word of the Lord just came to me." No, I wonder sometimes, because like I told Nancy, sometimes what the Lord told them doesn't come true, and we're supposed to listen to them in the future. Well, no, the Bible says, if it doesn't come true, don't pay attention to them.
And like you were saying, the false prophets that, you know, come to you and say, "Well, the Lord said that this is going to happen," and if it doesn't come to pass, that makes them a false prophet.
Yeah, and
back in the day in the Old Testament, if they were considered a false prophet, that was a death penalty.
Yeah, they were at in Hebrew, or I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 18. That's what it said. They were to be put to death. It was a capital crime. You know, I was thinking as we were talking about this now, remember the guy Harold Camping, who he made several predictions as to when the Lord was going to return, and he was very definite.
I heard about that.
Oh, I know, this is when it's going to happen. And then he had the latest big one. He did try to do one, I think, later on when this one failed. But the latest big one that really got a lot of attention was when he said that the Lord was going to come back on a certain date, or I shouldn't say come back, it was a catching away of the believers, a rapture is going to take place. And on a certain date, the believers are going to be caught up, and it was going to happen, and this was the weird part of it, that should have made people wonder. He said it was going to happen at 6 p.m. in each time zone, which meant it was going to happen 24 times over the course of the day. I just thought, what if you're straddling the time zone? You know, like if you had one foot over, do you go and the other foot doesn't go until the next hour? You know, waits an hour before it comes to meet you? I weird. But, and the thing of it is, if people looked at him and realized he'd already made several failed predictions of the rapture, none of them came true, and each time he said the Lord told him, why would they have listened to him the last time? And then that last time, if you were watching, there was a guy, it was so sad, he was in Times Square, surrounded by people who were jeering and ridiculing him. He's looking at his watch with the look of supreme confidence on his face, counting down to 6 p.m. when he just knew he was going to disappear. Now, in the first place, wouldn't he have been aware that 6 hours earlier, when it became 6 p.m. in other parts of the world, you know, or actually 12 hours earlier when it became 6 p.m. or whatever it was, 23 hours earlier, I guess it would have been in the right at the international time dateline. There would have been a whole bunch of 6 p.m. raptures already taking place, and none of them happened. So what, I mean, a guy was just, I don't know, put his brain on hold or something. And as he's standing there counting down, supremely confident, 6 p.m. comes and goes, and the look of confidence changes slowly into a look of utter confusion and then despair as he realized 6 p.m. came and went, and he didn't get raptured. Because he believed a lie. If he'd have simply read Deuteronomy 18, he would have never listened to Harold Camping again before that. So,
and plus, nobody knows the day or the Lord's going to return, but we need to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because we don't know when, and we just need to be ready. That's why the Bible says about salvation, now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. So,
and that's on the line with the topic I was going to bring up.
Yes.
Of course, I study the Mormons a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching last night about President Nelson was on Larry King Live.
Mm-hmm. And, now, is that the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Jesus Christ, one of the presidents of the Latter-day
Is that
Saints.
The Salt Lake City group? Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one question he was asked is, he was asked about all these temples that they built.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said one of the reasons why we got these temples built is for the people that died, and we can pray for the dead.
Right.
And the one scripture they used is in First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 29, and it says that else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead raise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead?
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the problems that the Corinthians had back in the day.
Right. But here's the thing. They were talking about some pagan practices and all that took place in Corinth. That was what? 1 Corinthians what?
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 29.
Chapter 5. Yeah,
15, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, it only goes up to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 5, 13.
Chapter 15, verse 29.
Okay, yeah, I that's what threw me there. I was thinking it was elsewhere, and then I checked that one out there. I couldn't find it, and it didn't have enough verses in the chapter. See, that's why we have a written word of God, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I don't always remember everything exactly right, and most people don't. That's why we go back to the word, the written word, and we check that out, and when you look at that, you did have some of the pagan practices at the time where they were baptized for the dead in that sense. But here's another thing that took place too. Actually, having said that, I was just thinking about this now that I'm looking at the verse here and a little bit more in the context and all. Baptize can also be used for washing. And the idea is it essentially means to be immersed into water. And they did, in a sense, baptize the bodies of the dead. And what they did was they immersed them in the water, but what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? That implies that you're getting baptized for somebody else that has died. But there was a practice of washing the dead, in preparation of the body to be placed in the tomb, which one of the reasons that the Jewish people and then the Christians buried instead of cremated people is the idea is anointing the body, washing it, and putting it in the tomb in preparation for the resurrection day. And the idea of saying, this body may be dead, but one day it will be raised incorruptible. And,
right.
And you can't do that with that. You can't show that with somebody who has been cremated. And it also, it's like that of Christ. Christ, his body was washed and then placed into the tomb. And then, of course, 3 days and three nights later, rose from the dead. So there's an anticipation of that happening as well. And so there's that there going on. But still, again, it says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? It doesn't say, what shall they do which baptize the dead? So baptized for the dead implies kind of like what the Mormons are saying, And that's where you come into the idea of some of the more pagan rituals, where they literally would do these rituals for the dead. It doesn't mean that it's a Christian thing to be baptized from the dead or for the dead.
And I believe that's an abomination.
Right, right. And, you know, to take this and to justify, because what they do in the Mormon temples is, this is the reason they do such incredible work with genealogies. Some of the most detailed genealogies are maintained by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Salt Lake City. And what they do is they're constantly researching people's backgrounds because, you know, here's the great thing about Mormonism. You'll like this. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or something like that, but if we were to die and find out that we're all wrong and the Mormons are correct, what do you got to worry about? One day, one of your descendants will get baptized for you, and you'll be okay. That's what it boils down to.
And the Catholics do that kind of teaching.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was going to say that okay, what comes to me too is that I was dead in trespasses and sins,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm made alive. So in a sense, I was baptized.
We were baptized in Christ, in his death.
In Christ.
Yeah.
In eternal life.
Yeah. In fact...
Is that what this means here too, or is that...
I don't think that's what's going on here. The idea here, those who are baptized for the dead, they're doing that. Even the pagans realized that there's something after death.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea, if we go back a little bit, because he's making a rhetorical question, kind of concluding some things here, where he says about what the Lord is going to do, and let me jump up verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, because he was the first of the resurrection. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and authority and all authority and power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For when he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And then it says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then... baptized for the dead? And so there's a recognition that there's something after life, where even death is going to be defeated. And even pagan cultures understood that, really. The fact that there's a resurrection. There's something after death. And so we have this here. And, you know, there's an expectation of something after this life.
Yeah, yeah, and of course the Mormons don't believe in the hell, separation from God.
No.
For all eternity.
Yeah.
And so I can understand why they believe this, because they don't believe in an everlasting God that's gonna put people in hell for it.
Yeah. Well, that's, like I said, if Mormonism was true, then you don't have anything to worry about, because you can just wait. And, you know, even so, it wouldn't necessarily even have to be a blood descendant of yours. It could be somebody that says, well, I'm related to them in some way. And yeah. So I'd be baptized for them. And you'll just wait wherever Mormon limbo till somebody later on is baptized for you, and then you'll be okay. So
I'm glad I asked you this question, because I could have got this wrong myself in my thinking. could have thought that, God was talking about somebody that was dead. And I thought in my mind, I don't think that doesn't sound quite right. That's why I asked you the question. Eh?
Yeah, and like I said, if it said, you know, why are you baptizing the dead?
Right.
But it specifically said baptized for the dead. Right. And with that in mind, that's involves some kind of practice. And I'll tell you, if you look at a bunch of commentaries, they're kind of all over the place saying, well, nobody's really sure what this means. And so I like to take the approach in scriptures like this. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. Well, it's plainly saying being baptized for the dead, not baptizing the dead. And so that's why I tend to rule out the idea that it's talking about bathing the body of the dead person or even immersing the body, saying, well, they didn't get baptized when they were alive. Let's baptize them now just to make sure they make it. You're not baptizing the dead. You're being baptized for the dead, which is along the lines exactly what the Mormon Church teaches. You're going to be baptized as a proxy for the dead person. The dead person can't do it, so you'll do it for them.
Right. And that's the,
but
go ahead.
I just say, but regardless of what it is, it shows an understanding and a belief in something after this life.
Right. And there's once you die, there's judgment.
Yeah, but you will continue to exist somewhere, either in heaven or initially in hell, and then later in the lake of fire for all eternity. And then, of course,
the Catholic Church teaches too.
Yeah, yeah. I know we're coming up. We got just about a minute and a half or so to go, but this is a good question.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw this in real quick. Mm-hmm. I was going to mention this a couple of weeks ago. Another thing that they do is they do marriages in the temple.
Yeah.
And where in the Bible does it say that anybody got married in any of in the temples?
Well, maybe this is something we should pick up again at a later date, but what I was going to say is they claim that the temple is just like that Solomon's temple. It's not. Go ask somebody, well, where do you keep the animals for the sacrifices? Where do you pour out the ashes from the burnt offerings? Where do you pour the blood out from the animals that you offer up at the altar? There is no place because they don't do any of those things. And no, you got to have your special underwear on. And I'm not making this up. There's special underwear that you have to wear in the temple. And it's got Masonic symbols on it, stuff like that. When I was in the Samoan Islands as a missionary, you could see it sometimes hanging up on a line to dry. But some people in the past believed you could never take it off. The way you washed it was you take all off, but say your arm. It used to go from your elbows to your knees. Don't have enough time to get into that. Thinking of the time in Western Samoa when the guy lost his underwear and was freaking out because he couldn't go to the temple. But anyway, hey, Terry, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for your call and encourage everybody to stay tuned.
During the Cold War, pictures depicting Jesus Christ in workmen's coveralls holding a hammer and sickle crossed over his chest were circulated throughout Latin America, promoting liberation theology by proclaiming Jesus was a communist. Liberation theology, birthed in the bowels of the KGB headquarters in Moscow, was an effort to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. At the same time, communists and their leftist sympathizers infiltrated Christian seminaries and churches throughout North America and Europe. Again, the goal was to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. Today, we see the fruit of those efforts. Churches that should be sounding the alarm against communism are either silent or promoting it. God says, "Come out from among them." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders are sounding the alarm.